You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Blue, White and Yellow podcast from Leeds United Live, giving you the in-depth analysis on all the big talking points from Elland Road.
Good afternoon, folks. Hopefully you can hear us over the whirring of the lawnmowers here at Elland Road. I'm Baron Cross, of course, and this is Joe Donoghue of Leeds Live. And we're in the aftermath of the latest point in this season for the Whites as they slowly edge their way to safety. 5 points now to go, by my estimates, maybe even a little bit less from the final seven games of the season. And one of those games that probably won't live too long in the memory. Pretty average. Both sides had good bits and bad bits. The draw is probably fair. Yeah.
Not too many major talking points.
No.
Last gasp excitement like we've had the last few weeks before the international break. It was a very average day where two pretty mid-table sides, I think, came up against each other and cancelled each other out, really.
Yeah, I think 6 out of 10 probably just describes everything we saw today, really. It was a very, very middle of the road. Quite hard to get too enthusiastic, but also quite hard to get too pessimistic about it, really. There were some nice bits. Certainly one or two players stood out better than others. But generally, I suppose on a day like this, you kind of have to say the attack was decent in at least creating openings, but blunt in not finishing them. And the defence largely dealt with Southampton quite well, but also did invite pressure unnecessarily at times.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think probably Diego Llorente's performance summed up the team's defensive performance as a whole. A lot of the problems were self-inflicted,
but
he dug himself out of those. And for the most part, I thought the defending was relatively solid, relatively secure.
Mm.
Southampton created, but that wasn't as a result of Leeds, you know, being poor. I think it was just a result of them getting bodies into spaces and being able to build attacks. And it was a similar story for Leeds going forward. I think we'll get onto it when we talk about sort of individual performances. But I thought Rodrigo had a really, really good game. Knitted everything together in the final third. Rafinha had a quiet first half. I think he came into it a little bit more in the second when the game became a bit more stretched, but not vintage from him.
But
even the likes of Joe Gelhardt coming on, and you know, the first two things he did was win fouls. El Yunusi was booked because he was sidestepped by Gelhardt and had to tug him back. So yeah, I mean, a very average day, but there were definitely positive points. And again, you look at other results and you look at the fact that Leeds have picked up a point today. So if you're looking at it from a glass half full perspective, it's 1 point closer to that magic figure which, I mean, we don't know, but I mean, you suspect it'll probably be around 35.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the reaction today is also helped by the previous two results, because they've won those two games. That has, even before today's game, just took the sting out of things, and it meant that draw was a little bit more permissible and people aren't quite as het up as they might have been. If they hadn't had their 90-minute winners in the previous two games, and you're looking at, 1 point from those six that they got, if you was then draw today in a match that was there for the taking, I mean, Southampton were no great shakes. As you say, both sides were just very middle of the road. It wouldn't have taken much more quality from Leeds just to see that match out. So I think winning the previous two just means that we are a little bit more tolerant of it. But had they not picked up those points, then I think we would all be much more pessimistic and much angrier at how that's a massive opportunity missed, because Southampton were not particularly good today. But as it is, that's now 3 matches unbeaten. And you have to take the positive, as Joe says. I mean, 7 points from the last 9 just sounds... Yeah. You know, sounds pretty decent for a side that's currently in the bottom 5. So you take it and run. And as I say, you're looking at maybe a win or a win and a draw and a win and a couple of draws to possibly just see Leeds safe. But we'll see by the end of the weekend. And of course, by the middle of next week, when Everton and Burnley play each other, that will really, by this time next week, we'll have a very, very clear idea as to how the bottom section of the table is looking going into that Watford game, which does, at least as it stands right now, does still carry a bit of a sting to it. I mean, that is a match that if Watford win, then it really does open things up again and Leeds suddenly are sort of on high alert. But as it is, it does still feel quite manageable and still quite optimistic about Leeds' fate. So we pick through it. We have had some answers post-match from Jesse Marsh to explain some of the decisions which were a little bit puzzling pre-match. So Joe Gelhart was the man we all kind of expected to start the game and attack in Bamford's absence, of course. Something that fans and many was in the press box have wanted for quite some time, but Marsh has added fuel to that fire in his pre-match press conference. And an explanation for why Gelhart was once again on the bench, because he just never seems to find that rhythm or yeah. that training exposure that managers need to see from him. But Marsh at least put that one to bed for us.
Yeah, and it's not sort of Gelhart's fault that he's not been able to get that rhythm. Marsh's response was that he tested positive, but it turned out it was a false positive during the week. So that cost him a day and a half's training. And while you're preparing for a game, you know, as you're getting your tactics ready, you're thinking about your personnel, you're thinking about that starting 11, and you know, you can't wait on. If they're preparing, thinking that he's a positive, then you know they have to you know mitigate the circumstances they've been faced with. So I think it's once he gets that rhythm towards the end of the season. I mean even next weekend, I think if he gets a full week of training,
see him starting at Watford,
I think you could see him doing that, and that'll be good. I mean, today Jesse Marsh said it was the best game that he'd seen from Leeds in terms of their counter pressing. Yeah. So sort of, you know, your 5 second rule stuff. So as soon as you give the ball up, you know, you're wanting to win it back within 5 seconds. Yes. You're swarming the opponent. I mean, it's not something that I was kind of looking out for, but he's probably spot on. He probably knows what he's talking about there. I think that was kind of leading from the front. That was the likes of James and Rodrigo and Gelhart when he came on.
It certainly felt that way to me. Sort of in those first 15 to 20 minutes, I felt the counter pressing was a bit more sort of at it, a bit more cogent, a bit more sort of effective among the team. Because of course, it is a tactical style which requires the players to understand that relationship and the rotations, as Jesse put it. So I think it did look much more effective today, which is encouraging at least moving forward, that we are seeing those advances. So as Joe's already said, Gelhart did make a difference when he came on, so hopefully that does now mean that if he gets a full week of training, he's got a chance of starting at Watford. The other one, Pascal Struijk, ultimately made it quite an easy decision to bring Liam Cooper back into the side. That was one of the two changes that Marsh made to the side that began at Molineux. Rafinha for Bamford, of course, was always nailed on. But Cooper, the captain, coming back in for Struijk. Cooper, very, very solid today. The aerial prowess was there to be seen in all aspects of the game. No, didn't really put a foot wrong, despite the fact he hasn't played in nearly 4 months. And ultimately, if you weren't in the stadium, or even if you were, you may have missed, there was a little bit of confusion with the final sub. So Luke Ayling comes off in the 89th minute, and Marsh just admits there was a breakdown in communication. Ultimately, it was Cooper they wanted to bring off because of he had a heaviness in his legs, just you know, absolutely knackered after playing 90 minutes at that level after so long out. So that was a minor breakdown in communication, which saw him come off and Pascal Struijk come on. But basically, Struijk tested positive for COVID in the first part of the break and then picked up a small hamstring issue, which effectively meant that Cooper had 2 weeks of uninterrupted training and Struijk didn't. And it just made the decision very easy for Marsh. And I wonder now if that now means that, injuries aside, Cooper has now got his place on that side for the final seven games. It's very unusual to drop a captain, unless it's for a suspension or an injury or drastically severe bad form. So you would think that probably left side of the defence is his now. And Llorente versus Koch is probably the other battle that Marsh needs to weigh up. I was a little bit surprised that Llorente continued today, given it the back spasm that he has had problems with over a prolonged period. Yeah. Marsh said after the Wolves game, and he wasn't particularly good in that first half at Molineux either.
No, it was a difficult one for him today. Like, as I said before, his performance sort of summed up the team's defensive performance. You know, there was a few instances, particularly with Broja, the Southampton striker, early on in the game, where I felt as though Broja kind of had his number. You know, he was more physical than Llorente. He's got a few inches on him in height as well, so that obviously helps. But You know, Llorente was maybe not getting rid of the ball at the most opportune moment, at the point where you'd say, right, okay, now if it's out, just get it out.
Yeah.
The one time that he did have to get rid of it, he did, when after Melia made a good save
for Che Adams. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there were a few problems of his own making, but for the most part, he was all right. There was one big tackle that he made in the second half, kind of coming across. There was one good goal line clearance that he made, actually, in the first half. So ups and downs, really, is how I'd sort of describe Llorente's day. I think Stuart Dallas was steady at left back. I think if we want to compliment him, he's probably a little bit better than he has been in recent weeks, where he's maybe been exposed by wide players a little bit more. Maybe that's to do with the fact that Southampton had Brogia
play a similarly
Adams.
Narrow shape as well, don't they?
Playing quite narrow, so they weren't down the sides as much. Ailing, it seemed as though Kyle Walker-Peters had a better day. And I think Ailing was dribbled past four times, and Kyle Walker-Peters attempted 11 dribbles today. So, I mean, that kind of tells the story of that flank.
He's confident, isn't he, at the moment, Kyle Walker-Peters, after his
England call-up. Yeah, he played well, and it was no coincidence that his sort of dribble from his own half near the touchline, he gets out. He beats pretty much every man twice.
to get to the
edge of the box. He's fouled on the edge of the area, and then that is the free kick that ends up nestling in the top left-hand corner of Melier's goal from James Ward-Prowse.
We talk about the opening Leeds goal.
Yes.
It took a while in coming. As we said, Leeds did start the game quite well. As you said, the counter-pressing stood out for me. And without cutting Southampton to ribbons, it was promising. As we said, Rodrigo played well. He was pulling the strings nicely. He was looking for those balls in behind. Rafinha and James were flitting in and out of the game without really hurting Southampton. I thought Salisu looked pretty comfortable, to be honest, with whatever was coming his way, even with Dan James's pace. James again leading the line, just not quite convincing enough. Got a few shots off on goal, but very comfortable for Fraser Forster. And Jack Harrison ends up being in the right place at the right time. But apart from that, for me, very, very anonymous again. Just not bringing anything to the party. For me, Marsh was very, very full of praise for him and seems quite happy with what he's bringing and thinks he is making those important improvements. But generally, just not seeing him in the cut and thrust of the game. Rafinha keeps the ball in, doesn't he?
I mean, we
talked about it. Click has that third man run that we know so well into the right-hand channel, keeps the move alive, pushes it forward into the final third, and then Rafinha just keeps the ball in play on the byline, scoops the ball into the air. Southampton are very passive, and ultimately, it's almost scuffed in by Harrison, isn't it? Forster was rooted.
It trickled in. I think Forster was kind of going the opposite way. His momentum took him to the other side of the goal, And as the ball's kind of bouncing around, I think Forster gets a touch on it, kind of comes down, there's a bit of confusion in the Southampton defence, and Harrison is the beneficiary and kind of prods it at goal and sort of like trickles into the corner. I mean, it was deserved. And one of the things that I said in the blog was that, you know, in previous weeks, in previous months, that's the type of game where Leeds would have started fast, as they did, and they wouldn't have made their dominance pay. They wouldn't have made it count with a goal. But today they did. And obviously it proved important because Southampton score with a low percentage chance, as Jesse Marsh would probably say.
Yeah.
But ultimately, Leeds made sure that they were still in the game because they'd already got that goal. So, I think if you're looking at it from sort of a 7 points from nine perspective and Jesse Marsh starting to get his imprint on this team, It's looking all right. I think with Harrison, that ties in with that sort of imprint. You know, if he's asking them to play the wide players, to play a bit more narrow, you know, a bit more in sort of an interior attacking
wide tentacles,
wide tens, then that'll be, there'll be a learning process there, and there'll be a process of adaptation. So I can see why he's not exactly thrown anybody under the bus yet.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on Melier today? I felt that first save we've already mentioned in the first half was very, very impressive. You know, he got across well and denied Adams, which was a very, very good chance and well executed by Adams. But in the second half, it just felt like his distribution was well off. I think it was strange how he just was ignoring Dallas. I mean, Dallas was just free time and time again at left back when Leeds were looking to restart, and just consistently made the wrong choice and invited pressure back on Leeds, because Leeds' worst spell was certainly in the first 5-10 minutes of that second half, and they just couldn't seem to get out. And of course, the Southampton goal came during that period. But I don't know, Melier, we've talked about his season generally, but again today, I know he's only conceded one goal, and it was a pretty good free kick, but again, it wasn't full on postage stamp from Warcraft, yeah. Was it? I mean, it was. You got fingertips to it, at least.
I mean, it's in that area. I mean, in general, I think Melier hasn't hit the heights of last season, but I think he's still had a decent level this year. I mean, today, distribution-wise, maybe a little bit lacking. I think we agree on that. Made two good saves, especially that one from Che Adams, sort of getting down really low to his left when his body might not, you know, you look at Melier, you don't think he'd be able to get down very quickly. I think, not his best game. There was a few sort of murmurs from the crowd whenever he was on the ball to try and just
that
usher
was it.
Him
that
into
was it. Yeah. To Marsh talks about it, didn't he? The 170. Do you want to explain that to the viewers?
Yeah, I mean, Marsh said he wanted the team to maybe slow down at some points. So maybe that was a directive. He was sort of saying that they want them to play 100-70. So
dropping down from 100% down to 70%.
And he said that the fans obviously understandably would want 100-150%. But maybe just
wants a bit more control.
Controlling the game.
It being this basketball game.
Yeah, or ping pong as Ralph has.
That's the new one, isn't it? Ping pong. Yeah.
With his lovely Austrian accent.
There were a lot of second balls, weren't there, today? It was.
Yeah,
I mean,
lots.
Marsh was quite happy to put the boot in post-match and sort of say it wasn't a particularly pretty game, and sort of tones of Bielsa there in terms of talking about it as a product and as a spectacle, in that Southampton were quite happy to go vertical, to go long, to put balls into the box towards Brozier.
Ugly, he said, didn't he? Makes the game ugly.
And there were an awful lot of second balls, and Leeds, I suppose that's where Phillips comes into the game, really, because that's his bread and butter, really, winning second balls.
And I think with Jesse Marsh's style of play, you are going to get a lot of those second balls, because it's going to be pinballing around whenever you've got lots of players pressing in the same spaces. Yeah. And I think over his managerial career, he's always had teams where their passing accuracy has been lower than the previous manager.
Right.
And that's because of his style.
Yeah.
Lower passing accuracy doesn't mean that it's a lower level of performance. It's just an indicator and a byproduct of what Marsh wants from his players.
So yeah.
I think today the accuracy was around 67% for Southampton, 71% for Leeds.
Okay.
So that's probably why, you know, lots of turnover of possession.
Yeah, it really was like that.
It was scrappy at times. It was ugly, as he said, but I think it was enjoyable in parts.
Yeah.
Mostly the first half. The first 10 minutes, Leeds created about a third of their whole match chances.
We look ahead now, and we've got Watford in a week's time, and we'll see what the week brings. Of course, it's another full week without any interruptions for Marsh and his side to get ready. It certainly feels like Gelhardt is got to be in the reckoning there, and there's going to be a decision he has to make on whether he drops James or Harrison, because Rafinha and Rigo look pretty set in their ways now. Phillips, again, Marsh alluded post-match to the fact that Phillips is getting there now, and that was a solid 25 minutes to half an hour he had. He came on in the 66th minute, so he had a really good run out today. And you know, I think we all know that ultimately, pound for pound, he's the best midfielder in the team, and he has to play, really. So that quality will be needed in the starting 11. So again, Click, or Forshaw, Click was the guy brought off today, and those comments on Thursday about him not being a natural six might mean that Forshaw possibly gets the nod alongside Phillips. And the back five, though, I mean, I know we're picking holes in Llorente's performance, but you would imagine the back five probably stays as it is.
Probably does, yeah. I mean, I can't see him throwing Cock in there because he decided to bring Pascal on. I know he could have brought, I mean, I know he meant to make it a sort of a left-sided centre-half change. But if his immediate thinking is go to Pascal, then maybe Cock he's maybe thinking is more of that natural six or four. I think probably does stay the same, really, doesn't it? Yeah. There's not really much alternative when we were thinking about fullbacks, especially.
There's going to be a lot more jeopardy in that game, isn't there? I think today we know the Southampton are a mid-table side without really much to play for, and Leeds are slowly but surely edging their way in that direction. And it did feel like there just wasn't a lot of skin in the game today. It just didn't feel like it was. I don't know. I'm quite pleased, to be honest, because it would have been quite nervy and quite distressing if Leeds were coming into this game with far fewer points on the board. But as it was, they had that breathing room, and that breathing room allows us to look at that game with a bit more of an open mind and a bit more objectivity.
Yeah.
But next Saturday's not going to have that, because Watford are scrapping for their lives and they absolutely have to win that game, and that is going to hopefully make for a very open and entertaining spectacle, because Watford are going to throw everything at Leeds and they're not going to sit back and put men behind the ball. You know, they need to attack that game, and hopefully that will then lead to space for Leeds to attack. So hopefully a bit more to it in a week's time. I'm trying to think what's on the agenda. So Monday night, the 23s are in action. Crystal Palace are visiting Elland Road. So if you've got a free Monday night to yourself to spend, come along, watch the game. If not, sit at home, follow our live blog. I think I'll be coming along to that one on Monday for my first 23s game in quite a long time. We'll see how we go. Anything you want to say?
No, just, you know, I think the Watford game will be, I don't think it'll be an enjoyable one. It'll be a nerve-wracking one, I think, given the consequences of...
Especially if Watford show any kind of gumption or...
In that first 10,
incredible 15. Threat. Yeah. It's just going to immediately feel like Leeds are at jeopardy again.
But I think it's a great opportunity to put the boot on the top of their heads, you know, you know, keep them down there.
Brutal language from Joe Donnelly there. Let's stick some boots on heads. Let's crush those necks.
The spirits. That's the only thing we want to crush. We want to crush spirits. And chances of survival, that's all. What Leeds playing Watford and Burnley playing Everton in the same week, the landscape could be vastly different for differing reasons in a week's time. So... Yeah, I can feel the trepidation in your voice.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bit juicy next Saturday. I'm hoping Leeds just go out there, assert themselves quickly and make it clear that Watford are no match for them, and we quickly get 3 points on the board and just end this purgatory.
I've not been mathematically
We're not
safe.
Quite there yet, are we? We are a little bit in limbo. But as I say, a win and a draw or two, and I think they'll be there, maybe even less, given the way some of the sides below are playing. But... we'll wrap it up there, folks. Enjoy the rest of your weekends. As I say, a point is better than none. I mean, like we've been saying, 7 points from nine sounds quite nice. So try and look at it from that point of view.
Yeah.
Three unbeaten. Is that the longest unbeaten run of the season?
It might be,
It has to be, surely. Because it's been such a choppy season, hasn't it?
Wolves was back-to-back wins for the first time.
No, I think West Ham and Burnley were back-to-back, weren't they? Separated by the FA Cup.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
The league wins were back-to-back.
Yeah. Get me on a technicality there.
Of course I am. Yeah. Well, we're not counting the cup, are we? I mean, we're not adding that to our form book.
No, absolutely not.
But I think it's got to be a good shout for being three unbeaten, given the way this season's gone. At least some reasons there for why the likes of Gelhardt didn't start, just to try and sort of reassure us that maybe he will come in next week, because it's so plainly obvious that he has to start these games in attack, because it's just not working with the other options.
And he does, he just galvanises the crowd, doesn't he?
Yeah, and talking of which, Marsha said he'll probably play Monday night, so if you want to get out and see some 23's football, Joe Gelhardt, the hero of the hour, is expected to play, providing he doesn't get another back spasm. So we'll leave it there, but thanks for joining, folks, and we'll see you next time.